My dear faithful, I welcome you to St. Joseph's Novitiate for the ceremonies of the reception of the habit, the profession of first vows, the renewal of temporary vows, and the perpetual profession of vows in the Congregation of the Daughters of Mary. Today is the Feast of the Visitation of Our Blessed Mother, and the epistle is taken from the Old Testament book of Canticles. Behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping over the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall, looking through the windows, looking through the lattices. Behold, my beloved speaketh to me, arise, make haste, my love, my dove, my beautiful one, and come. For winter is now past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers have appeared in our land, the time of pruning is come. The voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree hath put forth her green figs. The vines in flower yield their sweet smell. Arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come. My dove in the clefts of the rock, in the hollow places of the wall, show me thy face, let thy voice sound in my ear, for thy voice is sweet and thy face comely. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 1. At that time, Mary, rising up, went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah. And she entered into the house of Zachary and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the infant leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she cried out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the infant in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed art thou that hast believed, because those things shall be accomplished which were spoken to thee by the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, that you should go and should bring forth fruit. These words are taken from the Gospel of St. John. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm going to share with you now a story about a young lady and her vocation, as well as the profound effect her vocation had upon those around her. In the late 19th and early 20th centuries, a large number of Irish immigrants came to this country seeking work. One such immigrant was a young girl named Mary Jane, and she found employment with a family here in America as a housemaid. Mary Jane was only 14 years old when she came to this country. She was an orphan, but she already had a deep and burning love for the Catholic faith, which had been instilled in her by her parents before their death. The family which hired her to work as a maid, however, was not Catholic. The family was strictly Protestant, and Mary Jane was under firm orders to make no attempt to convert any of the members of the household to the Catholic faith. In the home, besides the husband and wife, there were two little girls. In fact, they were twin sisters who were about 6 years old when Mary Jane came to live with the family. Over time, the twins became very attached to their Irish maid and began to look upon her more as an older sister than a hired hand. The family always called her Jane, but when the twins pressed Mary Jane to reveal her full name to them, she informed them that it was just plain Jane and nothing more. Plain Jane became the affectionate name by which the family would refer to her for the rest of her life. In later years, one of the little girls, now grown up, wrote an account of Plain Jane and her influence upon their family. She explained that every night Jane would tell her and her sisters stories of Ireland, of leprechauns and fairies. But then, too, there were stories about God and the Christ child, Our Lady and the saints. I'm going to narrate to you now most of this account. Plain Jane was a born storyteller, the lady wrote. We listened entranced night after night to her tales. We had great favorites, which we begged her to tell over and over again. The best one of all was about a beautiful and wonderful woman whom Plain Jane sometimes called Our Lady, sometimes the Blessed Mother, and sometimes the Mother of God. Then there was the day that we asked her why she went to church so much. "Why, to hear Mass," she answered in surprise. "What is Mass?" we wanted to know. Suddenly, she wrote, there was a fire in her blue eyes that I shall remember always. "Holy Mass," Jane responded enthusiastically, "is the sacrifice in which God gives himself to me because he loves me so much. And then I give myself to him because I love him so much. And all through the day I am with him and he is with me and we can love each other." Jane went on to explain the Mass and Calvary as best she could. It was a true story, she wrote, and the most beautiful one that would ever be told, because it was the story of God's love for man. The lady writing this story goes on, reflecting upon the past. We twins were accustomed to the thought that Jane would always be with us. She was just one of the family. But when she was 19, Dad and Mother spoke to her and told her that if she ever wanted to get married, they would see to it that she had a lovely wedding in her own church. Jane thanked them with tears in her eyes, but she told them of a dream and a prayer in her heart, which she cherished above all else, though she would not tell us yet what that dream was. It was only when she was 24 years old and had been with her family for 10 years that Plain Jane revealed to us her desire to go to the convent and become a sister. We were all very grieved and a little horrified too, continues the writer. For as Protestants, we had heard dreadful stories about convent life. Dad tried to dissuade her, and she listened quietly, but then she said firmly that this was her dream, and no one would talk her out of it. When the day came, we drove her to the convent in our car and saw the gray doors close behind her. The day was sunny and bright, But as we looked at each other with stricken eyes, it seemed the sun had stopped shining. We visited Jane every chance we could. And after a while, our anxiety left us because anyone could see that she was very happy. How the other sisters laughed when they heard us call her Plain Jane. We began to lose our diffidence with the rest of the sisters too, and I heard Dad say to Mother that people who spoke unkindly of the sisters didn't know what they were talking about. When Jane became a novice and received the veil, we were all there, and Mother wept openly. Then Mother was taken very ill. The lady writing this account then explains how she herself converted to the Catholic faith. She says, that year, after we dropped off Plain Jane at the convent, on Christmas Eve, we all went to midnight mass at the big cathedral. Nothing much was said. Dad suggested it, and we all agreed. Nothing much was said later either, but we girls sometimes spoke together of how beautiful it had been. That spring, my sister and I went to Mother and Dad and told them we wanted to join the catechism class for converts at the local Catholic church. We were 18 then. Mother and Dad questioned us only a little and then let us go. I've heard that some people have to pray a long time for the gift of faith, but we didn't. I think Jane's faith had nurtured ours. Soon, we made our first Holy Communions, and I was married soon after my conversion, as was my sister. A few years later, our mother was taken very ill, and suddenly, we knew a terrible helplessness. My sister and I took turns caring for her at home, but we knew so little. I went to see Jane alone one day and wept out all my bewilderment and pain in her arms. Then, like a miracle, Jane came home to us. She was a trained nurse and had been working in a city hospital. The Mother Superior sent her home to take care of Mother. I was there one day when Mother said wearily to Jane, "I know I'm going to die soon, Jane. Please help me to die in peace." It wasn't long before she did die, but not before she had professed the Catholic faith and received our Lord in Holy Communion. Dad was baptized too before Mother died, and I think that made Mother's joy complete. Again, the years passed, she wrote, and Dad left us as well. He came home from church after confessions one night, complained of feeling a bit tired, and went to bed early. He fell asleep gently, and we found him the next morning with his rosary clasped in his hands. That was 15 years ago now. My daughter Janie followed Plain Jane to the convent, and my nephew George entered the seminary. Then one night we received a phone call. Jane, our plain Jane, was dying. We rushed to the airport and boarded a plane. In a few hours, we were at her bedside in the convent. She lived a few days longer, weak and pale, but still with the same fire of faith and love burning in her eyes. Now that she is gone, my sister and I speak of her every day and with tears. But there is a peace, too. For as we look around on our happy homes and thank God for our happy lives, we thank him most of all for plain Jane. He lighted in her a flame of his own love, so strong, so holy, and so irresistible, that it set on fire the hearts of the souls of those who loved her. When I think about it all, concludes the writer, I can scarcely wait to see the white in shining glory in heaven of the little Irish girl we knew as Plain Jane. My dear faithful, it is impossible to estimate the amount of good which can be done by the influence of a single consecrated religious. A single religious who gives herself to Almighty God as a tool in his hands for the salvation of souls can have a far-reaching impact which we will fully realize only in eternity. As you all know, since last July, we lost our founder and our spiritual father, Bishop Kelly. When Bishop Kelly founded the Daughters of Mary, he had a vision of a congregation of sisters who would spend themselves for the love of the Sacred Heart and the salvation of souls. Bishop Kelly had a vision of sisters who would care for the sick and the dying, sisters who would teach the faith to children in schools, sisters who would engage in the apostolate of the press, sisters who would make reparation to the wounded heart of God, offering to that divine heart their prayers, their sacrifices, and whatever work might be given them to do. This was Bishop Kelly's dream for his spiritual daughters, and it was his desire which flowed from his own love for our Lord and his own great zeal for souls. It is this dream of Bishop Kelly's which is reflected in every word of the sisters' constitutions composed for them by Bishop Kelly. As we perform these annual ceremonies today, the first without His Excellency, how grateful we are to God for Bishop Kelly's prudence, foresight, and zeal in establishing the Daughters of Mary. The story of Plain Jane is an illustration, so to speak, of the tremendous influence a single religious can have upon others. A vocation to the religious life is a gift from God, for it is an invitation to work with Him for the salvation of souls. At the Last Supper, the night before He died, our Lord emphasized to the apostles what a sublime gift a vocation is. Our Lord said to them, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, that you should go and should bring forth fruit." We do not choose our Lord. He chooses us. He calls us. And in his infinite wisdom, he knows the good he would have us do. My dear faithful, continue to pray for vocations. Continue to pray that God will call many to the religious life and to the priesthood. And pray especially that our young ladies and young men will be generous in responding to his call. For indeed, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Pray too that God will provide the sisters with the means necessary to expand their mother house so that they may continue receiving new applicants. As many of you know, the sisters outgrew their home here in Round Top years ago. And yet, thanks to their economy and ingenuity, they have found a way to receive all who come seeking admission. Do not forget that all the sisters do for us. Remember them in your generosity and continue to support them in the works they do. They are immensely grateful for your kindness, and they pray for you every day. With God's grace and your help, they will continue to bring forth fruit, as our Lord said. And they will continue to manifest Bishop Kelly's love both for the Sacred Heart and for souls. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.